Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy of Leather Podcast. I'm your host, Kirsty Taylor, and this week we have such a treat for you. We're chatting to the lovely Anastasia all about being a photographer and living here in Edinburgh. She actually shot the podcast cover photo, so we have kind of built like a little bit of a working relationship since then. And I just felt like she was such a great person to have on the podcast. We also go into a story about the shoot day, which is such like one of my favorite stories of living here in Edinburgh. So you definitely need to stay tuned to listen for that. But right now we're going to hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody doing? I do have to start this episode by apologizing that this is coming out a week late. Honestly, I just... full transparency, have a lot going on in my life right now that's been a little overwhelming. My mental health took a little bit of a whack there for a while, and with that in mind, Naomi and I have decided to take a pause on conceptual conversations, but we will be back soon. I'm just trying to like reconfigure things for myself and I don't know, like prioritize my mental health. I've just been through a lot of like shifts and changes recently in my life. There's still a lot of change and transition happening. It's all been like quite overwhelming and stressful. So if you're going through like a period in your life like that, then I understand you. Plus, if you're just in your 20s and under in general, I understand you, because I feel like so much of my 20s have been this. So I really relate to everyone, and I'm here for you. I understand what you're going through, and don't worry, like we're gonna get through this all together. It's fine to like feel differently about different things, and it's fine to take time for yourself and prioritize your own needs and self-care in terms of like simple things like cleaning your flat and meal prepping and not like going to a spa and all those things, which are also also great too, but you know what I mean. So I just felt like I needed to start off the episode, oh my goodness, by saying that. But now let's just hop into everything that we usually do. So my small wonder of the week this week, we are officially in autumnal weather here. Like, it has been cold, which I'm not like crazy about. I don't mind, like I like cold rainy weather when I'm like inside, but when I have stuff to do, it's just kind of, it's a little bit like of a damper. I don't know, I am going to Milan next week, so I'm excited for some sunshine if I'm honest. But I've been loving like open fires. I mean, I always love fires. That sounds weird, but like an open fireplace. That's like just a small wonder I have to shout out. So underrated. I grew up with like my dad putting a fire on in winter and stuff, and it's just such a, there's no wholesome, cozy feeling quite like it, in my opinion. So that is my small wonder of the week. For this week's gem of the city, I checked out a new rest. Well, not a new, but like a new restaurant to me. In Stockbridge on Friday with a group of girls, and a lot of fun. It was a great night. And it's this local restaurant called Artisan Pasta Maker, and it was so good. Very Italian in terms of service and stuff, but so good. Freshly made pasta, very like affordable prices, especially for Edinburgh standard. And oh, it was delicious. I had the pesto one. Two of the girls had the gnocchi one and loved it. One of the girls said the burrata one, which looked insane. I think I would order that next time. And then you can order wine from next door and drink it in there. And then they also, like, you can order the pasta and drink it in the pub next door. So it's a really great, intelligent partnership. And I just really loved it. It was great vibe, great energy, great time all around. So I highly recommend Artisan Pasta Maker as the gem of the city. This week's Curry In Essential is actually a book. And I feel like I haven't shouted out a book in a while. I have been back on my reading grind, which I'm really excited about. However, I do need to finish this book because I need to read another one for book club before the end of this month. And I think the other one is like a long book. But the book I'm reading right now, I have really been enjoying, and it's called Dead Famous by Ben Elton. And essentially the premise is like that it's a game show, but like my opinion, it's like, I'm pretty sure it's like based off of Big Brother. And there's then a murder like in the Big Brother house, if you like, and then the whole book is like the mystery of figuring out who is a murderer. But it's kind of, it's very tongue-in-cheek comedy, easy read. I really like it. A little bit of social commentary, but like a lot of comedy, and I'm really enjoying it. So that is my Korean essential. And now let's get into the poem of the week. This, again, my favourite website, Scottish Poetry Library. I thought I'd do a little autumn poem this week because, I don't know, I just felt compelling. So this is called, which I also am obsessed with the name, it's called Autumn Compensations by Helen Cruikshank. Autumn Compensations. Apples on the bending bow, berries on the thorn, wheeling gulls behind the plough where stood yellow corn, pungent petals golden white, bronze and winy red, blow in cottage gardens bright, though the roses fled. Books in cosy littered room, feet in slippered ease, silver candles in the gloom, stars naked in naked trees. All the talk that daylight slew, shyly come again, while we sit inside, we two, cloistered from the rain. We are growing old, my dear, who were wild and young, wit informed and wisdom clear, fall now from your tongue. Passion's perfume, beauty's flowers, may be past and dead, but the mellow fruit is ours, good as daily bread. So yeah, as I said, that is called Autumn Compensations, and it is by Helen Cruikshank. Before we hop into this incredible chat with Anastasia that I think you're all going to love, I'm such a fan of Anastasia. You have to check out her photography. She has the most incredible work. I do want to remind you to please follow/subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends and family, let them know you're listening, share it on Instagram. Our Instagram is @stories_stanzas. Which is spelled STORIESAND_STANZAS. You can check out our website, storiesandstanzas.com. And that's where you can find everything that's happening in life. You can check out like my poetry there too. I'm doing a little bit more of that, so that's fun. And let's get into the episode. Hello, just popping in here for this week's charity of the week. I thought this week we would shout out a tree charity because I don't think I've actually ever done that, which is very rogue because my dad is literally a tree obsessed. No, he's not. He works in forestry. Well, he did work in forestry and he's very passionate about that industry. So I don't know why I've never shouted it out. So I'm shouting out Woodland Trust. And I feel like most people will have heard of Woodland Trust. They've been around for a long time. But Woodland Trust does lots of different things in terms of like protecting trees and forests. So they like to create wildlife rich woods and plant native trees to benefit nature, climate and people now and in the future. They also fight to protect woods and trees, preventing the loss of irreplaceable habitat, nature and carbon stores for a healthier future for everyone. They also focus on restoring by bringing damaged ancient woods back to life, restoring in irreplaceable ecosystems to improve landscape resilience so that nature and people can thrive. And they also care. They care for over 1,000 woods, keeping them open for you to explore and enjoy. And they want to inspire love for woods and trees for generations to come. If you want to know more about Woodland Trust, you can just head to woodlandtrust.org.uk. They have planted 55 million trees since they began in 1972. They have saved 1,172 woods in the last decade, and they have helped to revive 85,000 hectares of ancient woodland. So really, really incredible work that they're doing. And if you want to find out more, like I said, go to their website, woodlandtrust.org.uk. They have a blog on there, a shop, and you can learn about like planting trees, visiting the woods, different ways you can protect trees. You can become a member, and they also right now have a petition. They'd like you to take action in terms of like having better protection laws for some of the oldest trees in our country right now. So check it out, woodlandtrust.org.uk. Hello, Anastasia, and welcome to Fancy of Leather Podcast. How are you today?
Hello. I'm very good, thank you.
Good, I'm glad. Just before we hop into the intro where we kind of talk about who you are and what brings you to the podcast, can you let our listeners know what your small wonder of the week is? What is something that you're grateful for at the moment?
So I am very grateful I think for people I'm surrounded with, because this week it showed me with everything that I'm doing, I have someone who is who believes in me so much. So I think this is it, probably very
Oh,
simple,
I love
but
that. That's so nice, though. That's a great thing. I think that's so important to have like nice people surrounding you in life. And I feel like that's something that you start to value so much as you get older. If like when you're younger, you don't really, I mean, not that you, I suppose when you're younger, you don't always have a lot of choice in terms of like when you're in school and stuff. But I think when you're older, it's something you really start to prioritize. It's like, oh, who do I want to surround myself with? Like, who's gonna, that's so nice that that's something that you're grateful for. So do you want to let the listeners know just like a little bit about you, like kind of who you are, what you do?
Yeah, definitely. So, I am a photographer, but I position myself, my English so bad, but I think of myself a little bit more than a photographer because I do like a lot of photo experiences. So I started with wedding photography, and then I decided to merge photography plus mindfulness together to create more value. And I also do branding and photography for businesses. So yeah, like a lot around photography, basically.
Nice. No, I love that. Actually, I feel like the first thing we should do in this episode is like talk about how like we got to know each other and like why you ended up on the show, because I think it's such a fun story. So obviously like people listening, unless you're like brand new to the podcast, will know like I was rebranding the podcast like wow, it was a while ago now, like maybe February time.
Yeah, I think so,
Yeah,
like
this was like
March,
winter.
May.
Yeah, it was like kind of like the end of winter. And I was looking for somebody that was going to be able to take like really good shots. So Anastasia actually took the podcast cover photo and edited it and everything, and I love it. I think it's like perfect for the podcast, and it has definitely done very well. Like everyone seems to be a fan, and so many other amazing shots that I'm still like using constantly on social media. I'm like, oh wait, I can use this one for that, which is so great to have like a bank full of them. Like there's nothing worse than if you do a shoot with someone and you don't really like the vibe and you get like one photo out of it. Whereas this one, I feel like we got so many good shots that I can use for loads of different things. And yeah, I think I just find you on, I can't remember how we like connected. I feel like on Facebook maybe.
I think so through
Yeah,
Facebook.
I think it was on Facebook. Honestly, recently I feel like Facebook is really underrated. Like I like not like for posting, like I'm not like posting like when I was like 12. Obviously I used to post on Facebook like with Twitter or whatever, but like not for that. But I feel like Facebook is actually so good for like networking
Oh
and
yeah, for
like the
sure.
community aspect, and I feel like it's being slept on by like new generations because oh my god, so millennial, like it's so not cool. And I'm like, actually, like I have met so many amazing people through Facebook, even just like living here, and like made so many friends through just like connecting in a group on Facebook and then meeting in person and getting on really well. And I'm like, I feel like people are missing out on something here. Like there is more to this app than you think. So no, I love that. But we did the shoot. We did it in kind of a couple of locations.
Yeah, we had like several locations, and it was quite diverse as well. And we were like, I think we were so lucky
Oh yeah.
during this day. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was so good. So basically, this is like one of my favorite stories from like living in Edinburgh ever, which is so funny. We lived here for a while, and it happened like fairly recently. But basically, one of the shoot locations was this hotel called the Glass House that we kind of just like stumbled upon, and we were like, oh, we should go and like see if like there's anywhere we can like take shots in here. Like, it's a really cool place. Like, it has really nice lighting and stuff. And the guy that was working there was so lovely, and he was like, oh my gosh, yes. And there's this amazing kind of rooftop garden that I can show you. Like, people take photos, and I was fully expecting to like have to pay something. And I was like, I don't have like an issue with that. And this guy was so nice. Like, he was like, you can go into this area and you can take shots here. And I really like taking ones here. And turns out he does like the Instagram post for the hotel. So he's like kind of into photography, showing you like pictures of his kid, right? And he has pretty
It was
good skills.
amazing. He just like literally when he saw us coming in, he opened the door and he was like so nice, so kind. Like you felt like, oh, This is so good. Is it possible? But to be honest, that's how I feel in Edinburgh, cozy and nice and welcomed. So yeah, and this day, yeah, it was
Oh yeah, it
just
was like epitome of Edinburgh. I was like,
yeah.
wow. Like, because I literally ended up with like a free coffee, and I was like,
Exactly.
what? Like, first of all, you like let me use not just one part of the hotel, like
Yeah.
multiple areas of the hotel for free, including like this rooftop garden that is like stunning, that definitely people have like had their reception photos or whatever taken at. Like, I
Yeah.
was like, wow, this location is prime. And then he showed us like a room that's like a
Yeah.
boardroom that had really good lighting that like normally like guests wouldn't even get into unless they like were there for a
Yeah.
meeting. And
Or
I was
people
like,
just rent it out. So, and he was just like, no, it's very nice. You will like it. Just
Yeah,
go.
so crazy. And then he was like, sometimes he was like, oh wait, is that in the back of the shop? Like, should I move this? And I was like, oh my god, you're so nice. And I ended up with a free coffee, and to make it even better, it was a free oat milk coffee. And I feel like that's like unheard of. Like, if someone's ever giving you something free, especially like a coffee, it's normally like a filter coffee. But it was like an
Yeah.
oat milk latte with a little biscuit on the side. I was like, what is this place? Like, I'm in heaven. Like, honestly, if I didn't live in Edinburgh, I'd be like going, I'd be telling, like, I'd be staying there. I'd be like, I have to stay there. I don't care how expensive. Like, I don't think it's cheap accommodation, don't get me wrong. But if you are able to afford it, the Glass House is
It's an
where you have to
amazing
go, because it
place.
was amazing. Like, I can't recommend it enough. Yeah, it was actually so wild. I remember being like, I believe that just happened. Like, that was amazing. Because we ended up being able to do so much of the shoot there because there were so many different locations within that one area. So it was, yeah, it was definitely such an ideal situation. So no, so you said that's like one of your kind of things you love about Edinburgh. Is there other things that you like you really enjoy about living here? Like, what are kind of your favorite things about Edinburgh? Or is there things that you're like, oh, I wish like sometimes that's like a little bit annoying?
What I really love, I think I've never experienced something like that before, just to have this variety of people. And when I moved here, I felt like so free and so understood, because they were like, here you can find people like from every place in the world. And I felt that, okay, I can finally be myself and not like feeling that someone will judge me, because like everyone came from different parts and everyone understands that, yeah, we are all different, we all come from different places and we have our ideas and our culture. But yeah, that's why everyone is so, I don't know, supportive and understanding at the same time, which was like such a good feeling of freedom, I think it gave me. So yeah.
No, I love that. I actually think I feel like, even though I'm feeling from this country, I think like even just moving from like my little village to Edinburgh, I had kind of the same experience where it was just like very world opening. Even though I'd like grown up coming here at weekends and stuff, it's not the same as like living in the place. I think I had the same experience of like recognizing how much like diversity there is in the world, and like how many opportunities there are, and how many like different people there are, and like how everyone can like coexist in like a way that's like effective and sustainable. Like, obviously Edinburgh's not perfect, don't get me wrong, but I thought it was like really amazing because I grew up in kind of like a tiny little village where there was like not really much happening, and it wasn't like, don't get me wrong, it's nice to go back sometimes to like turn off my brain for a while, because sometimes like I love Edinburgh because I love that it's always got stuff going on and there's always stuff available, but it is also like there's also a community feel for it that I feel like I don't get in cities like London and places like that. But I do sometimes feel like I need to like leave the city and go to like the countryside to just turn off everything. And I think that's probably because I grew up in like a little village. So sometimes I'm like, I need to get back to like my roots. I'm like, I need some time like isolated from everything, because there is always like things going on here. So no, I totally get what you mean. I think that's such an amazing thing. So kind of switching gears a little bit, how did you first get into photography? What's kind of been your journey with that? What led you to the camera?
I think it's just from very early age, I felt like I want to capture everything, and I remember I got like this small digital camera, and I ended up creating one folder per day that I took photos, and then I realized that I had 360 folders per 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm taking photos every day.
Mm.
And I remember how fascinated I was when I realized that there are like phones that have cameras. I was like, oh my God, I can just take my phone and like take a photo and it's there. So yeah, I was still in school, but I got into photography more when I was in the uni, and I was just I was actually studying HR.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't plan anything like
with
photography, but I liked working with people and solving problems and like being involved and like helping in some way. And yeah, and then like because I was living in like in small industrial city, and they didn't have like any opportunity for HR, like a proper HR, I was like, I don't want to do that yet. And I found photography, and I was just having it as a hobby. And then I just started doing more and more and more and more. And like, I guess like as many photographers, it just comes from a passion, and then it just continues and is being something that you love and you do, and like you do it commercially as well. So yeah, it's just a very simple story, I guess.
Oh, I love that. Is there any kind of photographers that stand out to you, people that whose art you're particularly inspired by? Is there any photographers you've seen in galleries and stuff that you're like, oh, I really love the way that they've done that piece?
I think I have several, but I cannot think of someone in particular just now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like I try to be honest not to look a lot on other like big photographers, because I remember like when I was just learning it, and I felt so small when I was just like looking at some amazing works. And then I guess subconsciously started just comparing myself with other like amazing photographers, and then I decided, okay, I'm not going to do that. I will just like grow with my own pace, and I will just get where I will get, and like without feeling that, okay, I need to give up now because I cannot get these results as they do. So I think like, and then it just didn't, I didn't get to the point like really like admiring too much or like following a lot. So yeah, maybe it's,
I like that though, because I think then it like allows you to be more creative in your own space as well, in terms of like the risk of being too inspired by someone is you end up doing something very similar, or you box yourself kind of into a style. Whereas by like kind of not paying too much attention to that, it allows you to be your own brand more and have like the ability to shift the way that you exist. Whereas if people kind of know you for one style, then it makes it a lot harder. So no, I like that. I think that's like a really cool thing. So you spoke earlier about obviously your photography, you kind of combine it with mindfulness quite a lot, which I think is such a cool idea. I don't feel like that's like super common, but it makes a lot of sense when you actually think about it. Like I think like the idea of like mindfulness, but also like self-love, and I don't mean self-love in terms of I don't know, having a bath at night, like, and self-care. Like I don't necessarily mean that like in like that capitalistic sense of like the wellness industry, but like actual physical self-love and appreciation. I feel like photography is definitely a great way to have that experience and to utilize that, because I do think, especially if you work with a photographer like yourself, you do gain like a lot of confidence when you see the photos back, and like because that person is encouraging, like, as a photographer, I feel like you're quite an encouraging person to bring out that side in people. So I wonder, like, how did that kind of come about? What was that experience? Like, what brought up the idea for the mindfulness, and how did that kind of come into play?
So I think there are, like, a couple things behind that, because, first of all, like, throughout the years of work, like, as a photographer, and I've been doing, like, multiple photo shoots, just personal photo shoots for women, and then I could see how the process of me taking photos of them is helping to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like, they can come like being a bit shy, and then like I just encourage them like to, I don't know, to feel like you're, I like this actual phrase, like to be the main character there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah, and then like they, I don't know, they reflect so much light in the end, and they're so relaxed, and then they see themselves like differently, like not mm-hmm. not the how they got used to. And I saw like many times how people also prepare for the photo shoot, because it's their time, like it's about investing in me, mm-hmm. in myself. So like all these little details that like we might not think of, they really help a lot. So it was one thing. And the other thing, I was always like drawn to like self-reflection and like being mindful, because I saw how much it helps me. And like, working with your mind and with your thoughts. And then I discovered the law of attraction and how like everything is connected, how your mind is and your thought can help you with getting where you want, and just like to feel, I don't know, better just mm-hmm. in general, and free. And yeah, like some things that sometimes we lack, have the lack of. So yeah. And I think what was the point of like changing point,
mm-hmm.
it was when the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, during this time, I had to move to Edinburgh, but I literally got stuck back at home, and I couldn't fly back, and I was just, at the same time, I was just so tired from maybe burnout from photography, because it was yeah. like a non-stop. I was just, okay, I'm taking photos, I'm having like weddings, and love stories and so on, and then I did. So it was just day and night.
Yeah.
And I felt like it's already somewhere on the surface, and like it wasn't really satisfying me as much, and I started like digging deeper. Okay, what do I want? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And then I found myself that actually I like helping people. I like this part of myself that is behind the lens, sort of like mm-hmm. no one knows about it. It is like love towards mindfulness and like mind and everything that is connected with that. And I got a course about life coaching. So yeah, I was studying that, just like, to be honest, a simple course, but it gave me so much structure. And at the same time, yeah, I was just reading a lot. And when I moved to Edinburgh, I was just wondering, how can I do two things together? Because like, if you just look at it without thinking, like how can you be both?
Mm-hmm.
And I was even thinking like quit photography, but then I just stopped myself and I was like, okay, but photography is an art and like it also helps. So then somehow I finally like got to this idea that I can do both. I can do like well-being photography that will be helping on like deeper levels. And then I can, yeah, like help more to people who feel that, yeah, they want something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So some sort of an experience that it will take them to, you know, discover themselves better, help themselves. So
no, I like, yeah, absolutely. I think as well, because it allows them to see how other people perceive them, because I think what happens, especially as women mm-hmm. in society, is you get very focused on how you're perceived and kind of like how society perceives you
yeah.
as a woman. Like obviously I feel like that has been a big topic this year with like Barbie coming out this year, and like
yeah.
I feel like there is a real push again for like recognizing like women's rights, which is a ridiculous statement, like that mm-hmm. should always be a
yeah.
thing, but you know what I mean, in terms of like I feel like it's back at the forefront of everyone's minds, and
mm-hmm.
I think that is such a good thing, is when they get to do these shoots, they're able to kind of take themselves out of that
yeah.
situation of always being super hyper aware as a woman of like, how am I being perceived by everyone around
mm-hmm.
me? Am I being too much right now, or am I not being enough? Like there's never like, it's never like the perfect thing, whereas
mm-hmm.
when they're in a shoot with you and they feel comfortable, they're able to like be fully themselves
yeah.
and then they're able to then reflect back on those moments with like an image that's a piece of art, but it's also
sentimental because it has meaning to them in terms of like they felt something during that moment, and it is good in terms of it makes people realize like, oh, I'm actually not too much like there's, if I saw somebody else doing that, like I wouldn't, I think that's so amazing that they're like posing like that. So like, why am I perceiving myself as like somebody that's like all doing too much? So I love that because I think it allows people to take themselves out of their own heads and experience a different perspective, which I think is so important. You mentioned briefly kind of about burning out from photography, and I feel like creative burnout is such a thing. I think being creative can take a lot out of you. I think one thing about art that is what makes art so beautiful but also makes it so kind of difficult is you really are putting your all into it. Like art, in my opinion, good art, or like real art if you like in quotations, is something you can't like fake. I feel like it has to come from a place of like care and passion and emotion. I think that is what makes art art, but I think that can be a difficult thing as an artist, particularly when you're doing that as a job, because you're also having to like fund yourself. So it's not just about like the art side, you're also having to think like, can I pay my bills? So I feel like creative burnout becomes a real issue, and I'm wondering how have you kind of gone about like managing that and ensuring that you're still finding time to make sure you're like being mindful for yourself and you're still having time to potentially like create and enjoy photography like with clients, like what's kind of been your experience with that?
I think it's all about the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember because there are so many like memes about, oh, it's all about the balance. But it is.
But it is. They're not wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes things are cliche because they're true.
Exactly. And I think that's what helps, is just like to be aware, like if you are like taking care of yourself, or if you are putting too much yourself into what you do and you're spending too much energy and you don't gain it back. I think that what helps, like just to be again mindful about how you feel, where you're at, just complete like do all the time these checkups on yourself. Okay, like did I meditate? Like, do I need it? Like, do I drink enough water? And like, how do I feel? Just stop for a moment, slow down, and let yourself understand if like if you are happy or if you're already just rushing into doing lots of things and just forget about yourself. So yeah, I think that is helpful. And when you just keep going and giving yourself a structure as well, I guess that was helpful for me.
Nice. And so the other thing is, so you do kind of like lots of, right now you have kind of a couple different
photography styles that you do. Yes. What do you find are kind of the main differences between them in terms of like, what do you find is the main difference between like doing a branding shoot versus like doing maybe like a wellness shoot, or doing one that's like a more like personal shoot? Like, what do you find are the differences between those experiences?
I think, at least like for me personally, it is about, so we are all like, how to say, we are all like the diverse creatures in a sense, and we have different sides of us. And I think like each direction of photography is just like helps me to be me, but in a different ways.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, so like for example, branding. I love branding because like I get to work with so many cool and amazing businesses, and it let me be creative and find the way, like ways to reflect their values, because they are so like different. And then it let me be like doing the research and finding like different ways how to help them stand out and show their uniqueness. So like I think I am being like very creative when it's about branding and just trying to come up with something that would be about them. When it's about wellness, well-being, and like mindfulness photography, it's about getting to the like on a deeper level and finding some things that will help person to be feeling better about themselves, and just do some practices that will be combined with photography that will make them love themselves more, or like just reminding themselves how amazing they are. And then like it's more, I think, like the all the feelings are different. It just gives different feelings, I guess. Because yeah, with well-being, it's like you feel more at peace, and you feel like this, like goosebumps from like seeing how person is, I don't know, glowing from everything that you've been doing together. And weddings is just, it's just love.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
like having, like witnessing this love, I guess.
Nice. No, I love that. I think that's nice as well. I think it is good to always...
It's nice to have a job where you feel like different sides of yourself are being fulfilled, because I think that's important. Like, you're definitely right in terms of, like, everyone has different things that they enjoy doing, and it's nice to be able to, like, experience different things. And I also think that probably helps with the burnout, because it's, like, you're changing up what you're doing, so it's, like, not groundhog day of doing the same thing every day, because I think that's also a big part of it, is, like, people get very stuck in, like, one situation. So, no, I love that. I was going to, what was it? I had a good question. I've forgotten it. You know, like, it's on the top of your head. It'll come back to me. Oh, so obviously as a photographer, you're, like, self-employed.
Yeah.
So you kind of manage your own schedule, and you're in charge of, like, when you go on holiday, when you do that. Personally, like, I'm a very organized person. Like, I love a Google Calendar. I love to color coordinate, but I have never... Obviously, I do things on the site for my work that I schedule, but I have never worked not under somebody. And I'm wondering, like, what is that experience like? What are kind of the stresses of that? And, like, what are the benefits you find? Like, what has been nice about not having kind of someone to quote-unquote answer to? Because that is definitely something that can be difficult in a lot of jobs. But also, how do you manage that in terms of ensuring, like, you are being effective with your schedule? Because it is your responsibility.
Oh my God, to be honest, like, it was such a painful spot for me for, like, a while, because I think I've been working as a self-employed, like, since I graduated, like, from the uni, and, yeah, and it was a constant struggle to organize myself, because, yeah, when you don't have anyone standing and telling you, oh, you need to do this or that, like, you just may not to do it.
Yeah.
You just may not. So yeah, it is a struggle to be self-employed, because you need to have this structure. And I think I was creating this excuse that, oh, I'm a creative person. I just, like, sometimes I feel chaotic, but I think it's just an excuse. Because yes, it's definitely maybe harder, like, when you're being creative and inspired, but I think finally I managed to find the structure, and just, like, as everyone, like, most of the people, like, wake up at the same time and start work at the same time, and just keep doing,
like,
routine and, like, yeah, just simple things, like maybe meditating a bit, having a glass of water, and then just starting with tasks, rather than like before I could just go to sleep around 4 a.m. because I was editing the whole night, and then wake up at 11, and then it's just, you feel lost. But when you have structure, like, it helps. So yeah, lately it's been helping just to put yourself in this frame, in a sense, like, just in a, in a structured schedule. So yeah, but it's still, like, hard from this point of view, but from the flexibility, I would never give it up. Yeah, because yeah, it gives you this flexibility just to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do. So yeah, it's, I think it's pros and cons at the same time. So
yeah, no, I love that. Well, we are gonna wrap up the episode
in just a minute. So just before we do that,
we like to ask the guests every week, what is, like, your Korean essential? So what is something that
you like to have that, like, makes you feel especially cozy? Obviously, we're getting into, like, the colder days now with autumn and we're thinking, I personally like to be cozy all the time, but obviously autumn's a great time to be cozy. So what is kind of one of your essential things to keep you cozy?
I think that's a very funny one because it's just the word cozy.
Oh, nice. I love that. It is a good word.
Yeah, because like whenever I think I saw it somewhere, maybe on Instagram, because someone was saying like, oh, just get cozy in the gym. And I was like, oh my God, it gives me that feeling of being cozy. And I'm like, okay, I will just get cozy and I will do this work. And it helps. And maybe a cup of coffee as well.
Yeah, that always helps. A hot drink is always really important. Yes. I grew up on like tea, but now I feel like I'm more of a coffee girl. But if my parents are around offering me tea, like I won't say no.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty British thing. It's like if I'm ever offered a hot drink, the answer is almost always
yes.
No, I love that. That is actually so true. It is like a word that really makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it really matches its meaning, which is nice because some words I'm like, what? Like that doesn't sound anything like that. But that is a good one. Finally, just before you go on a stage, can you shout yourself out? Let our listeners know where can they follow you and like find your photography. Perhaps they're like interested in getting into photography and want to chat to you. Maybe they want to do a shoot, or maybe they just want to check out your amazing pictures.
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram or Facebook. So on Instagram, I am fasta.photograph. And on Facebook and like my website is Anastasia Fasta. So Anastasia Fasta. Everyone pronounces it differently here. So yeah, that's me.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll have that all linked in the show notes so people can find it easily in case they're not sure about spelling or anything like that. But thank you so much for coming on. It's been so lovely chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice.
No problem. Thank you, everyone at home, for listening. See you later. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the chat as much as I enjoyed chatting with Anastasia. And if you want to check out Anastasia, I will have all of her information linked in the show notes as usual. As per usual, our Instagram is at stories_stanzas. Our website is storiesandstanzas.com. If you love the podcast, please do leave a review, tell your friend, share it on Instagram, tag us, follow/subscribe so you never miss an episode, and you'll be listening to me again next week. And I think we might be having a change of scenery, and it might be a fun Italian episode coming your way. I'm hoping to record with my friend when I'm in Italy, so stay tuned for that. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week. Bye.